Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Spirit to Spirit. It's wonderful to have you with us today. I'm sitting in Colorado where it is freezing cold, but it is snowy and gorgeous, and it's definitely putting me into the holiday spirit. Today, I am very pleased to be joined by Sasha Sabbath. She is an entrepreneur, life purpose, soul coach. That is a mouthful. With 22 years of experience as a coach, healer, and public speaker for personal and business development success, her message is to succeed in sync with your soul. That has such a beautiful rhythm to it. She is a certified passion test facilitator, a neuro-linguistic programmer, and a hypnotherapist, among other accomplishments. And she works with people as well as animals, helping them to activate self-healing and restoring balance. So we're going to be exploring all of that today. And thank you so much for being with me today, Sasha.
Oh, thank you, Aricia. I have so looked forward to this.
Wonderful. Well, and I have to tell our audience, Sasha was a real dear this morning because my computer is down, and I called her, and I said, oh, I don't know if we're going to be able to do the show, and she said, you know what, I can call in, and I can be kind of the host caller, and you could just call in as a guest, so that's how we're doing it today, and I so appreciate that. Thank you so much, Sasha, for your quick thinking on that.
You're welcome. I feel like a mad scientist looking at all these controls on my computer.
It is kind of crazy, it is. You know, my first question is, I'm really wondering, what do you mean by soul purpose? Tell us a little bit more about that, because I think people are curious.
Absolutely. Soul purpose, from my perspective, is the actual path and purpose that the soul, our soul, has come into this incarnation to live out, to experience. That's what I mean by soul purpose. So that means that the person's life experiences, the choices they make, the directions that they go in life, everything has a purpose of building a certain highway of life. And we do have free will. And so we can at times make that path perhaps more laborious than we need to. And so the task, if you will, the opportunity, the invitation, that deep inner calling, that whisper that compels us, those who can hear that whisper, can feel that whisper, is to navigate ourselves as a personality being onto that track, that highway, that is part of this journey called one's purpose.
Wow, that's beautiful. I mean, it's something that would be so important to access because that's what you're here to do, and you might have just gotten derailed a little bit.
Yes, it's controversial because on one hand, there is no such thing as derailing because that, too, could be construed as being a part of one's soul purpose. And on the other hand, it could have a person have perhaps more of a burdensome path. And I think that only one's relationship with their God source can ever really sort that one out. I honestly don't believe that a person can be off their soul purpose. I believe that every experience we have is building a reservoir and creating a template of information that becomes used by the person in their learning and their expansion. I believe that the distinction is more whether or not a person is fighting themselves in this lifetime unnecessarily, or if there is more that flow, that synchronicity, and certainly, if nothing else, greater fulfillment.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people are really locked in that struggle where they're fighting themselves and they're just going back and forth and they're wasting so much time and energy beating themselves up.
Yeah, and again, you know, all of these things are so fine, there's almost a mystery to it. There's always a, it could be this or it could be that. There's nothing that I think is a real definitive line in the sand that says it is this way or that way. So why I'm bringing this up is because when you say they're fighting themselves, it's a wonder as to how to be on this earth plane and be efficient, productive, responsible, building a lifestyle that a person wants, and be able at times to really listen to the deeper longings of what a person wants. And nowadays, there is I use the word compelling a lot because that's how I feel it. As an energetic being, I feel this compelling force for people to start to listen much more deeply to what it is that's really meaningful to them, what it is that's really important to them, and what they need to do to honor who and what they are. My perspective, you know, in working with my clients and certainly in my own life, my perspective is that the more we dishonor, ignore, deny, demean, diminish, and put to the side that which we need to feel we are living a meaningful life, is more, there are greater consequences, there are faster repercussions that let us know that those choices are hurtful to us.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So I think that we already explored this, but, you know, one of the other things that I was interested in is, why is it important to know one's soul purpose? We already kind of started talking about that, but tell me a little bit more.
I work predominantly with entrepreneurs. That's why I call myself an entrepreneur, life purpose, soul coach. And with entrepreneurs especially, given the way our times are economically, and there's such an epidemic of instability and uncertainty, that to know the deeper aspects of our talents, our strengths, our motivations, what gets us up in the morning. I know that that's kind of a trite expression nowadays. However, when you think about it, that really is the case. What does get us out of bed in the morning other than things that we must do, like the children or the pets or a partner that needs our attention? If we didn't have that and it was just ourselves in our little bed, what would get us up and out of that bed in the morning? These kinds of questions reveal what is a passionate surge within us to do and to be. And so with entrepreneurs, we have to have a direct plumb line to that source of motivation, because there is so much, especially if you're a startup entrepreneur, there is so much that we have to contend with to get the results that we need in terms of profit and et cetera. I mean, I think it's obvious what's going on in the economy, so I don't need to make more of that point. So to know one's sole purpose, to know why we are here in this lifetime, to own the collection and culmination of lessons we've learned about life, about ourselves, about other people, and bring that to one's business, is probably one of the greatest sources of inner peace and persistence that an entrepreneur can have. And I call that one's business soul signature. Soul signature meaning that the essence of who we are, based on all of our individual learnings that are unique to our own path, comes through in not only the services that we might provide as an entrepreneur, but also how we handle situations. When we walk into a room, if we walk into a networking event, if we walk into a business meeting, whatever the scenario venue might be, we will carry an essence, even if we don't open our mouth. Mm-hmm. And that is part of the signature that we leave, the feeling that we leave, certainly the words and the actions that we give in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that all is part of a signature of energy imprint. And the more a person knows their soul purpose, especially in business, the more they can feel the confidence and the clarity and the creativity that comes so that their soul signature can be even that much more precise.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, I like that. Wow, that's pretty amazing to think about. I mean, that knowing that can help you to get out of bed in the morning, remain motivated, and also clearly express what it is that you do to other people so that you can really be that out in the world.
Yes. And it particularly, again, you know, being in business, it particularly buffers the rigor that we all have of knowing who is our peer group, who are our friends, who are our perfect customers, what are our perfect projects and transactions. It allows us to go through the what appears to be rejection or not this, not that process with a lot more peace and a lot more clarity, because we know ourselves at a deeper level.
Mhm. Well, and I know that you were, you know, you didn't really want to get into talking a lot about the recession and everything, but I'm wondering, you know, how does finding your soul purpose, how does that really fit in with our current economic climate? I mean, just globally, there's the recession is going on. So I'm wondering how it kind of fits with that. How does it help?
The more we understand our true nature and what it is that makes us tick, I teach a course on that, what it is that makes us tick, what it is that is the most meaningful, then we can use these times as gifts. I even did a whole series of blog entries called The Gifts of the Recession. The gifts at this time are to have us rethink, recraft, retool, redirect ourselves to be less seduced, if you will, or attracted to experiences or things or people that really are not in sync with us and what is meaningful and important to us.
Mm-hmm.
These times offer us a great opportunity to go deep within ourselves and claim an answer to the question of what do I really need to be happy, healthy, and fulfilled? That's why so many people are downsizing. Yes, it might have been prompted by losing their house or having to give up certain amenities. However, if a person hovers over their life path and sees the direction of all this at this time, they may see the gifts of getting in touch with the deeper aspects of what fulfills their being.
Mm-hmm.
And going less outside themselves for what they think would make them happy, secure, important in the world, to disengage from that template or that paradigm or that criteria and instead find new chambers within themselves, perhaps, that really hold the gold, mm-hmm. that really hold what is most nurturing and fulfilling for them.
Well, I think we're really on the same wavelength with that, because I also had written an article called Gifts of the Recession, but it was more related to, you know, my work with family and parents and things like that. And, you know, I'm seeing some of the same things. You know, parents are spending more time with their kids instead of taking vacations where the kids go and do their thing and the parents go and do their thing. People are staying home and playing card games and hanging out together and getting to know each other, and it's actually kind of a good thing in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know for myself that I feel the pressure around me. There's no question about it. However, my path, which led me to the career that I have, already had that built-in need to stay very connected with my purpose and my passions. And so as I watch what people are going through, I've been living that my entire life, the need to stay true to my purpose and my passions. And I'm watching people look for greater love, greater authenticity, greater sincerity, greater freedom to be who they really are, and greater permission to own what they really love and to make time for that. Because because they cannot get that from the outer world as much.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, it's interesting that you said that, because I talk to a lot of people too. You know, I work with careers, but I also work with a lot of parents and families, and I help people with clutter sometimes too, because I do professional organizing. And I was talking with a family the other day, and I said, you know, you're out shopping, because they're big shoppers and they like bringing home a lot of things and they love shopping and all that, and it's like, it's fine to shop, go ahead and look around, but if you're going to bring something home, think about it as a pet. Think about the care that it's going to need. Where are you going to put it? How are you going to care for it? How are you going to have time for it? I don't care if it's a lamp. I don't care if it's a box of Band-Aids. You've got to have a place for it, and you've got to have the care for it. And, you know, it kind of echoes what you're saying, because, you know, we've gotten away from that. But the recession has sort of brought us back to this place of, you know, really caring for the things that we have and really caring for the people in our lives. So I see that piece of it as a gift also.
Yes, and you said something that is very dear to my heart when you said the word pet. I believe that another gift of this recession is being brought to our attention in ways that are, I feel, very painful, and that is people giving up their pets because they feel that they can't afford to take care of these animals. So I could spend a long time on that conversation, but I'm not going to. I'll just simply say that the emphasis on one's heart, one's emotional integrity, one's sense of being capable of loving and receiving loving, mm-hmm. is really being stirred up with this recession.
Mm-hmm.
The making of one's character, and again, taking a stand for what's really important, is being called forth right now, especially in the domain of people who own pets. It's a painful subject for me, I must say. It's staggering what I'm seeing, and I know that everything's perfect and there's a great transformation going on, just like what happened with the Hurricane Katrina and pets. So once again, pets are here, as lights for us as humans to really look at ourselves as human beings and what is the highest octave to be a human being. And the recession is putting that arena in the spotlight as well.
Right. Well, and you know, I live near Boulder, Colorado, and there was an ordinance that you're not allowed to call your pets. They are animal companions. So we hold a very high vibration here for our animal housemates that we have. So, you know, I was curious if you could tell us if it's, you know, okay with you to go down this road. I was really interested in hearing about your work with animals, too.
Well, I don't do a lot with animals as far as clients. However, I had my own extraordinary experience with my beloved doggy, who is now in heaven. And that opened an entire door of a portal of the animal intelligence, the pet intelligence, certainly the heart and the intelligence of my little girl. Her name was Echo, and she was a pit bull. And so I certainly know the other side of how magnificent pit bulls are. Mm-hmm. And the path with her led me to be receptive to people who had pets and had some challenges with their pets. So I had a couple of situations where I acted as a liaison between the worlds to help some of these pets transition out of their physical body. And that was very glorious, and I did it through energy work and prayer and so on as they left their body. Mm-hmm. Now, if there's a pet that is in safety problems or something having to do with being hurt or is being abused in some way near where I live, I somehow find out about it. It's amazing, my radar for that sort of thing, the synchronicity of how I will find out about an animal that's in need, and I will do what I can to help that animal get into a better situation. And sometimes I can't. You know, I've had to learn to let go. I've had to learn to recognize that which is out of my control. So there's been a lot of learning for me, again, through the tutelage of the animal world. When I do have the opportunity, for instance, if an animal is very ill or is recovering from surgery, then I will do long-distance healing or hands-on healing, but I don't have that as a big part of my practice at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I was just interested in that because I saw that on your website and I thought, wow, that's really an interesting thing. We actually had Bonnie Star Mandel Rice, who was on a little bit ago, and she talked about her business of communicating with animals, and I have a cat. I feel so terrible for him. He, I think he was actually homeless when he was a baby kitten, and then he was found and brought to a shelter, and he was like a little runt, and so all the other cats kind of beat up on him. When we got him, he just had, you know, a lot of cuts and bites and things. So, you know, we've tried to be very gentle with him, but he does rip out his own fur. And I had Bonnie on, and she was talking about, you know, how to work with that. I actually had a session, Oliver had a session with her afterwards, and he's much better, much calmer. I mean, I really believe in it. I think that there are people that are kind of a conduit to help us, you know, get messages through to our animals that it's okay and that they're safe.
Absolutely, and my relationship with Echo definitely heightened my ability to sense and know what's going on with the animals in my world. And the energy work that I do when I open that portal certainly does help me to be receptive to more subtler nuances that I need to pick up on. I think the greatest indicator of my connection with animals, again, is that my higher consciousness will bring me to a corner of a street or walk out of my door at just the right time to find out about a situation with an animal. And then I go in to, as I said, take care of what I can and let go of what I can't.
Well, and one of the things that you talk about, too, is bringing out the healer in people. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I think that that sounds really interesting.
Oh, yes, that's one of my favorite topics. Thank you. Yes, I believe at this time that we know that vibration is what creates our life experiences. I think that's a basic given for most people who are aware of manifestation and transformation and so on, and certainly the personal development movement and the pop psychology information points to that, that energy creates, and that the higher the vibration, the more well-being can occur in a given scenario to a person, to a group. So the more a person can deliberately shift their vibration via their thoughts and their emotions, the more they will broadcast a vibration that has more alignment with the higher frequencies. So it's kind of like an airplane that is coming in for a landing. The more our energy field has the resonance, the vibration, the energy patterning of joy, peace, gratitude, love, compassion, creativity, and those kinds of gratitude, I don't know if I already said that, then a person's frequency has a better chance to connect with the spiritual vibrations that can come through even more in terms of synchronicity and love and more creativity, what I would call creative genius, for that person or for that group thought form. So a person who deliberately and consciously makes the decision to mitigate and maneuver and manage their own energetic states of thought and emotion will be more of a healing presence in an environment than if they don't have that level of awareness. And as such, I say that each of us is a healer because we can go into a situation and broadcast a thought energy and emotion energy that can contribute to the environment or accentuate that which is, let's say, quote-unquote negative, or that which is chaotic, or filled with anger, or filled with depression. Now, that doesn't mean to say that our job is to go in, and if a person is sad, to work to control or manipulate their mood, because that's not what I'm saying. I don't think that that's, quote-unquote, the right thing to do. I think that what we can do in a situation like that is to just offer a frequency silently of love and well-being, and let the vibration hover. And if that person on a telepathic level can be nurtured by it, kind of like watering a plant, then fine. However, it's up to their free will.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of the Celestine Prophecy, the book, and reading that, and how they talked about you know, these people are sitting in a restaurant and somebody is having a fight at one of the table, and there's like some sort of vibration or electricity in the air that kind of puts everybody on edge or makes everybody uncomfortable. I mean, there really is something to that in terms of what we put out into the world. People feel it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I have the kind of path as a healer and as an intuitive that there's a very short amount of time that transpires where if I am putting out a vibration that is not in alignment with my well-being, something will happen to show me that. I'm going to cough. Just one second. I'm in heavy negotiations with a cold right now. And so far, it's one for one. So, did that answer your, did that address the point that you just made?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, this is all just, you know, very interesting stuff. And I think for a lot of people, it's brand new and they're listening and they're like, I'm not sure I quite understand what you're saying, but, you know, it is true that when you walk into a room, you know, a lot of, and that's why, you know, that's why we sometimes will ask our partner or our kids, we sense that something's off, even though they haven't said anything. And we actually really have that pretty much with most people on the planet, where we can sense that there's something that's off, and we'll say, are you okay? And that's where that comes from, and is the, you know, the whole idea of the vibration.
Absolutely, and I believe that these times that we are in right now are making that sensory guidance that much more heightened. I have my eight pillars of the entrepreneur soul purpose success mindset, mm-hmm. and that consists of these different components that when we work with them consciously, we're able to navigate ourselves back to center, back to our inner sanctuary, back to our sense of confidence and self-love. And one of those pillars, the fifth pillar, is raise your vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And my eighth pillar is presence. Mm-hmm. And it's all about using your intuition to decide, who do you want to be in the moment? Who do you want to become in a given situation so that you can have the outcome and the experience that you want? And these telepathic messages, this sensing moods and what's going on in an environment is extremely important nowadays. And I am encouraging anyone where it's relevant for me to bring it up to start deliberately developing their intuition. And all you have to do is get on Amazon.com and do a search word for intuition, and there are so many books that one has at their disposal to start building this clarity of connection between our inner wisdom and our outer world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I like to think, that people are kind of born with that intuition, and it kind of gets not worn away, because I think that it's still there in its perfect form, but I think that it maybe gets a little bit buried, kind of, or something happens. I mean, what is that happens to people?
Well, I think it all goes back again to one's soul purpose, because sometimes we have to learn lessons that will develop our personality self. And sometimes we have to get knocked around by life where we don't have the clear communication with our guidance, so that we build some sort of knowledge, some sort of character refinement of our heart, of our minds, the choices that we make with our emotions, the choices we make with our thoughts. Now, we could go into a long conversation about programming and mass consciousness and the evolution of the spiritual awakening of our society. And if the bottom line that I would say in that case is that we are evolving as a consciousness, to give much more credit and much more credence and commitment to listening to our inner self. And again, that's another gift of our current recession. Without that intuitive guidance, we can be making decisions and going into situations that might not have the most strategic or beneficial outcome for us. Mm-hmm. And with the chaos and the upheaval and the transformational change that's going on right now, listening to that inner voice is our green light, is our light in the fog that's calling us forward to a direction of some sort. Now, why a person does not listen to their intuition, what is blocking a person's intuition, has everything to do with their life path and everything to do with their free will. Because when a person has certain programming, let's say when they are they have a friend or they're dating or they have a business partner or some sort of relationship, as a hypnotherapist and a neurolinguistic programmer, I learned early on about the programming element of the subconscious mind and how it impacts our behavior. Well, a person might have a path where they have to continue to get into relationships where they're treated badly until something happens inside of them where they say no more, and then they make the changes. Well, I would think that that person would have had intuitive messages, intuitive whispers, early on in the earlier stages of any of those relationships that said, you know, this is going to be more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
As to why that person did not listen, heard the messages and did not listen, or did not hear the messages, is all part of their personal character, personality, evolution, and the learnings that they needed in this lifetime.
Well, I'm just sitting here thinking about that. That's pretty incredible.
Well, it's kind of like with that expression, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force it to drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is that saying? It's saying, here is a solution, little horsey. You're thirsty, go drink it, and if the horse doesn't, that's the life and the experience, the path, the learning of that horse.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I think that that's what you're thinking, too, I think, gives parents a great deal of peace, if we have any parents that are listening, because I think we all experience that with our children, too. It's, you know, you can lay the buffet in front of them of all of the choices and opportunities, and you can, you know, provide some guidance and some ideas and support and everything else around that. But eventually, at some point, it is going to be up to them to make the choices that they want to make. And understanding that the choices that they make are perfect, even if they don't seem perfect to us, I think that that can provide a lot of peace to parents.
The role of the parent nowadays is a particular opportunity for the individual to heighten their intuitional skills and their vibrational skills. I am not a parent of a human of a human. I'm a parent of little kitty cats. And the information that is required for parents nowadays to really get a sense of what is going on with their precious children is extraordinary right now. And the more a parent can develop the instincts, if you will, the intuitive messaging that is unique to them, they will be of greater service to their child. And vibrationally, if, you know, everyone could do this, I would urge all parents to get trained in Reiki or to get trained in some sort of energetic transmission skills so that they can continue to fill their home and their relationships with some sort of high vibrational frequency. Reiki is just one. I'm a Reiki master. I'm also trained in another system called Soma Pi, which is hands-on as well as long distance. And the more we can have access to these higher refined vibrations, the more we're able to counter and create a sacred cocoon of energy for our family. And
well,
of course, I'll just add this. Of course, you as a meditation teacher, what you do is critical to help people get into those deeper frequencies so that they can emit from their physical body
mm-hmm.
those rarefied energies that are already within us.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, and I use acutonics when I'm working with people too, which is acupuncture except using tuning forks. So it's perfect for long distance and just using the intention of which Chinese point it's going to be on, you know, which meridian it's going to be on and working with. And I think partially because I do that in my home, I have people that come in and they, as soon as they walk through the door, it's like, oh my gosh, this just feels like a sanctuary.
Exactly. That's fantastic that you do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's true. I think that, you know, as parents can become familiar with some of these some of these energy workings, I think that it's really going to help people to bring things up to a higher vibration and I think relate to their kids. I mean, I think one of the things that we're facing right now is that our kids are really in a sort of a place where they're kind of like the next evolution, if that makes sense. And I think it's a bigger jump than what we have experienced in the past. And a lot of times we're diagnosing our kids with all kinds of problems. But if we look at it, and we look at, like we did with the gifts of the recession, and we look at the gifts of ADD, or we look at the gifts of, you know, all these things we're diagnosing our kids with, it's kind of amazing. You know, I have a son that was diagnosed with ADD, and I look at him, and last night he was working on designing a sweatshirt, and he was watching TV, he was texting on his phone, and he had something going on the computer. I mean, he can multitask like nobody's business. And that's one of the gifts. But we don't recognize that unless our vibration has been brought up a little bit.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why I feel that the work that you do as a parent coach is so important, is because the children that are coming in and who are already here, I mean, the whole Indigo Children theme is about this, that they're consciousness and how to integrate that brilliant intelligence into the physical body is what's being transformed now. And again, the more a person, a parent, has their heart chakra healed, refined, where compassion and wisdom can reach their conscious awareness, the more they will be able to partner with their child as opposed to parry with their child.
Yes.
So that this being, this great being that has been entrusted to them, has the ability to really shine and become what they are here to do.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, and I love what you said, entrusted to them. I think that that's such a powerful statement and such a powerful place to come from as a parent is looking at it. These people were entrusted to you. They are entrusted to you.
Right, and getting back to the pets, you say in Colorado you've got that ordinance about, they don't use the word pet, but it's a companion. I regard human owners of pets to be guardians of these animals, that
right.
they're not a thing, a pet, but I know I'm singing to the choir to you, so I don't need to go into any bit of detail about that.
yeah, and like you said, you know, really, it's they kind of become your furry little children.
They are your furry little children.
Yes.
They are, and what's more, they are such batteries of what's really important in being alive.
Mm-hmm.
Their intelligence, their psychic abilities, their capacity to love, forgive, have compassion, be resilient, you know, stay in the now. All these things that pets do are models for us as humans.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, they really are. They're really a gift. They're very, very fun to have around, and I think that they are good teachers.
Yes, definitely. I know that my life was transformed by having my dog when she was with me, and I hold her ever present in my awareness.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, I have a friend who talks about that. She had specific cat that was just such a dear to her and really saw her through some of the most difficult points in her life. And she says that. She says, you know, I feel like my cat is there with me all of the time, just kind of in spirit and really helping me, just like she did when she was here and alive with me.
I would say that that is probably 100% accurate.
Yeah. And that's such a nice thing to, you know, to recognize that and to know that and to have that presence and that intuition to know that they're, you know, that they're here in spirit.
Yes. Yes.
So I wanted to go back to business a little bit and ask you about something else because I love the rhythm of this, just the sound of it. What do you mean by succeed in sync with your soul? I like that.
Thank you. Yes, when that was given to me, everything inside me lit up. It came to me through partly meditation and partly a very dear girlfriend of mine who knows me so well. And you know, when things are right, you get messages, some sort of message inside. Well, in me, it was like this bolt that went through me that said yes. Success for everyone, of course, is defined quite differently. So to succeed in sync with one's soul means that whatever our perception, definition, and desire for success is, that it be in alignment with this deep core essence self. So that as we walk through life, there is a harmony, an integration, a congruency that allows our higher nature to move and circulate through our physical form. The opposite of succeed in sync with your soul are these endless examples of people who, let's say, have a lot of money, a lot of things. They have a lot of relationships, and yet they are not happy. Right? You know what I mean by that.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I know people like that that are just miserable, and they've got, theoretically, everything.
Yes, and so that's an example of whatever they went for that they tagged as success is somehow being blocked to reach their soul's fulfillment. It doesn't mean that having those things are wrong or having those experiences are wrong. It's just there's a breakdown, there's a disconnect between what those things bring them and what they know about themselves that they need to feel nurtured, fulfilled, alive, that their life has meaning, and so on. That's one example. Another example is, again, people have, you know, what appears to be a wonderful life, and yet they are so horrifically self-destructive with whatever they do.
Right.
This too, is an indication of a disconnect. Somewhere in those scenarios, there is a wedge between their higher consciousness of the soul and what the soul is experiencing in the physical life stream. That's what I mean by succeed in sync with your soul, is to align your purpose, your passion, and then to design your projects, who you spend time with, how you spend your time, so that it is in sync with what it is that truly matters to you, what truly makes you feel happy and alive.
Well, it's interesting to hear how we're on the same page with so many things. I had attended school with Pat Williams at the Institute of Life Coach Training, and an exercise he had us do that really made such an impact on me. I use it with all my clients, and that was, really get clear on what it is that's important in your life. And so we did that over about a week. We came up with, these are the things that are really, really important in my life. And then on the call during the class, he said, open up your calendars and show, you know, take a look at it. Where do those things show up for you? On your calendar. And for almost all of us, none of it was in our calendar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very resonant with the class that I mentioned to you that I'm teaching. It's Soul Coach Strategies for Goal Setting Success. And it's all about having your goals, having your projects, cleaning up the loose ends, especially at this time of the year, so that that which really fuels your passions and that which really honors your values and that which really expresses your purpose become your goals.
Mm-hmm.
And to look at the goals that you currently may have and make sure that they are in alignment with your passion, purpose, and your values, and to go to your calendar for the month, 3 months ahead, 6 months ahead, 12 months ahead, and make sure that there is a pathway of continuity where those are being honored and built upon.
Mm-hmm.
The action steps, the action plans.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us, how can people find out about your class and when is it running and how often does it meet and how much does it cost? Give us some more details about that because it sounds interesting.
Give us the scoop, huh?
Exactly.
Spill the beans. Well, actually, it's called Get It Done! ! Soul Coaching Strategies for Goal Setting Success. And the first, I am offering two options. One is a morning option to accommodate different time zones. And the morning starts tomorrow. The morning class starts tomorrow. And it's going to meet at 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. It's going to be 90 minutes per session. It's a four-session course. There will be three sessions in December and one session in January. And then the evening option begins this coming Monday at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. It, too, is a 90-minute session. And so it will go from 5 to 6:30 Pacific Standard Time. The classes are all recorded. There's going to be a lot of training. My purpose in this course is to teach people some basic intuition skills, some basic energy self-management skills. We're going to be touching on purpose to help people get clearer about their purpose, definitely about their passions, and then just straight-laced goal setting with action steps and so on. The purpose of the course is for people to complete the year with a sense of accomplishment, of not only getting things done, but reconnecting with themselves in a much more potent and loving way so that they walk into this new year. Let's see, I called it a rockin' arrival, meaning they're really, on my sales page it says fabulous finale to 2009, and making a rockin' arrival into 2010. So the people are excited, you know, that they don't just slide into first, you know, that they have this sense of, okay, I'm human, I make mistakes, I have a vision, life is kind of rough right now for most people, I'm going to claim my life, I'm going to have a good time, what do I really want to do, what do I need to clear out the clutter psychically, emotionally, physically. And I designed this class because I am doing the same for myself. I'm going through my apartment. I'm going through how I'm structuring my business. I'm doing all of these things for myself. And I saw that there was an incredible course there.
Mm-hmm.
So for people to register, there are still openings, so please come on in. It's going to be a fabulous class. They're like, I'm just so excited about them because I can feel and I can sense the baggage that people are going to be letting go as I'm designing it. I'm feeling it within myself. So I can imagine how it's going to be for other people who, you know, don't have the tools yet, how they'll feel when they learn the tools. And there's going to be a group collaborative. People are going to have buddies so that they can have accountable buddies. The place to go to register for this is on my blog page, which is the three W's and then entrepreneur, soulcoach.com/ blog. So you have to spell entrepreneur correctly. Even the smartest people I know stumble over that word. Entrepreneur, and then soul, S-O-U-L, coach.com/blog. The sales page will show you the morning options and the evening options. The cost is $297. I really wanted to make it affordable because it's holiday season and people's budgets are being directed toward gifts and vacations and so on. It is, as I said, a four-session program that's recorded so that we have December as a focus month, and then we go into January and we touch bases and just see what's next.
Wonderful. That sounds terrific. Well, thank you for telling us about that. It sounds great. And, you know, I wanted to share with people, too, something that's kind of a little bit of a New Year's thing that I'm going to be doing with Dr. Stephen Marcus on MBONO. And what we're going to be doing starting on Monday, the 28th of December, is we're going to be having a little bit of a morning group in America, in Germany, where Dr. Stephen is. It's going to be in the evening. But we're going to be meeting each week, ongoing, and we're going to be talking about what do we imagine for the new year, what do we intend, what are we grateful for, what do we need to release. And so I would imagine that the class that you're teaching would be a great setup for that. So I would encourage people to check out Sasha's information, see if that's a good fit for you. And also to check out MBONO. We're going to have this class posted in a couple of weeks so that people can learn more about it. But thank you so much, Sasha. I really appreciated having you with us today. It was just wonderful to hear all about what you're doing.
Well, thank you. And you were so present, and your questions were so clear and following the energy here. I have really felt honored to be with you, Aricia. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad that you were here, and thank you to all of our listeners, too, whether you're listening live or by archive. It's a pleasure having you with us. And I want to thank Trinity Damask for all of the beautiful music that you heard as you came into the room this morning. And next week, I'm going to be speaking with Kathleen DeMason, and she's the author of Potatoes Not Prozac. We'll be talking about sugar addiction, so you don't want to miss that. And so until next time, dear ones, live in spirit, dance in the connection with the spirit of others, and take gentle care of yourself. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Aricia. Bye-bye.